And here to give us his thoughts on the Final Four and more in the NBA is the television voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You can see his work on Fox Sports Ohio, and that is John Michael, who joins us now on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Doing quite well. As always, we very much appreciate your time. How are you and the family getting along these days?
Well, we're hanging in there. No basketball last night threw us off a little bit for the first time in a long, long time. But all things considered, doing great, hanging in there, and enjoying some fantastic NBA playoffs as we get ready to continue along here with this Final Four.
Yeah, I don't think anybody at all is surprised that you've got the Celtics still alive in the East, the Lakers, of course, in the West. But goodness gracious, what about the Heat and the Nuggets filling out the rest of that quartet?
Well, let's start with the Heat. Really impressive in the East. I mean, they roared through the first two rounds of the playoffs, and they continue to do what they do. I mean, I think you have to tip your hat to Jimmy Butler. You have to tip your hat to the organization. I mean, guys, we're not talking about players that were drafted in the lottery to fill out this roster. I mean, when you look around, a lot of mid-range first-round guys, some guys even who are undrafted, they've done a nice job not only building, but, you know, you pick up Jimmy Butler, and all of a sudden, you're a team that's really doing some things. And I think Butler fits perfectly with this team after a couple of stops that really weren't him. And I think it's playing out. I think they stole one from Boston in game one, guys. I mean, that game was Boston's to win. They got, you know, I think Boston down the stretch did some things that are a little bit out of character. The ball stopped. They were playing some ISO basketball. That's to be expected somewhat when you have a younger club. Even though there's some experience on that club, younger guys, and I think they just stopped moving around on offense, and the Heat took advantage, made some clutch shots, pulled out game one. So that's an interesting series. Still like Boston, but, man, you have to tip your hat to the Heat. And what about the other guys? I mean, in the West, Denver went from a cute little story to Dragon Slayers. I mean, again, they're down 3-1 twice in the first round, then into the second round. They're 6-0 in elimination games, guys, in the playoffs this year. So, I mean, it's a fantastic story. I mean, even when it was 3-3, I mean, I don't think anybody said, I give the Denver a fighting chance. I mean, you just kind of thought the Clippers were going to do what they do and pull it out. And what a disaster of a season. I mean, really, when you look at a team that was favored to win the whole thing coming in, you know, at least the Lakers and the Clippers are right there. What a disastrous end. Another exit after leading 3-1. This is something that's happened a number of times throughout the organization's history. And this organization still hasn't made it to a single NBA final matchup. I mean, they haven't gotten through the conference final. So it's just, you know, it's got to be frustrating, back to the drawing board. But, some guys just didn't play that well for that team. And all of a sudden the Clippers are out and the Nuggets are flying in to take on L.A. And then we'll see how that all shakes out.
Well, John Wilkerson took Denver in Game 7 against the Clippers. But, John Michael, my question to you is this. Do the Clippers stay together?
I think they do. I think they'd have to run it back one time. You know, I think what's interesting, it's a great question. And to me, what does Doc Rivers do now? You know, when he looks in the mirror, when he goes back to the drawing board, there are certain teams, guys, when you're in this league for a while, you look at them and you say, okay, this team might be a team that works in the regular season, maybe not as much in the postseason. I think example one, let's look at the Bucks. All right, when you have a star player like Giannis Antetokounmpo that you rely on so heavily, all right, he'll get you through the regular season. I mean, boy, it's hard to stop Giannis when you have 24 hours to prep for him, 48 hours. But when you have a series, when you have 7 games to prep for him, those supporting cast players must be better because you are going to be able to slow down a single player like Giannis. Those are one team. That's one team that stands out, a team that might not be as good in the playoffs as they are during the regular season. I think the second team that stands out is a team that relies so heavily on its bench. All right, and you look at what the Clippers did bench-wise this season, they were dominant. Dominant, but you go into the playoffs, and you know that bench on both sides is going to be shortened. You're going to be playing 7 or 8 guys. So when you rely so heavily on that bench, maybe that's a team that you don't like as much. Now, that said, I thought the Clippers for sure would be able to overcome, you know, that slight disadvantage that they might not be using their bench as much, but it turns out they weren't. They didn't get what they wanted out of Paul George. You look to bench guys like Lou Williams, like Montrezl Harrell, their production was way, way down. And near the end of that series, they weren't being used much at all. So it was interesting. Denver took them right out of that. Reminds me of Toronto a couple of seasons ago when that bench, they relied on 6 through 10 in the rotation so much. But when it became crunch time, you didn't really use those guys as much, and Toronto made quick exits out of the playoffs. So that's something to me. Does Doc – will the team stay together? I think they will. I think they at least owe it, you know, they traded away their future. I mean, they don't have any more picks for the next couple of years. They got to stay together. It's just how do they play it moving forward. I thought Kawhi was fine. Kawhi was Kawhi. But, again, you look at the supporting cast, guys, and it wasn't there. It ultimately is what cost this team another second-round exit from the NBA playoffs.
Well, clearly the Clippers leading by 12, 16, and 18 points just wasn't enough. So we'll see if the Lakers can get that kind of a lead. The Lakers seem better suited, though, because I think they're better defensively against Jokic inside. But do you think the Lakers will have trouble putting Denver away?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would have said the Clippers would have no problem putting the Nuggets away when it was 3-1. And like you said, with those big leads, I think the Lakers are much better suited to deal with Denver? Yes. I think Jokic has problems with athletic bigs who can guard him out around the perimeter. Okay? I mean, the Clippers had Zubats. He can do, you know, only so much inside. But once Jokic gets out around the elbows, once he does his thing at the top of the key, he becomes so much more multidimensional. We saw it here in Cleveland firsthand. A player like Tristan Thompson gives Nick Jokic fits. Because he's physical, he can get out around the perimeter, he's big, he's strong, he can do some things. Anthony Davis, you know, that pretty much fits that description, okay? So I think the Lakers are better suited. I do think they're defensively, you know, in a better position to handle this team than the Clippers were. Whether it's going to be a long series, I don't know. Again, I've counted the Nuggets out now twice in these playoffs, once in the first round against the Jazz, once in the second round. I think they're playing, you know, they're playing loose and free right now. They certainly did in games 5, 6, and 7 with nothing to lose. I think they carry some momentum into the series. Would I be surprised to see them win game 1, the Nuggets? No, I wouldn't. But do I think eventually the Lakers are the better team? They get through to the NBA Finals in that series? I think they do, no question.
Our guest is John Michael, the television voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. As he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline, we talk about the NBA. You mentioned that with teams like the Clippers and the team that had the best record in the NBA this season, again, in the regular season, the Milwaukee Bucks, they see the end of their season and they are left with a number of questions. When you look at just the side that really creates headlines, when you have a star player that could be as good as any player in the NBA and probably another MVP in Giannis. What do you think when we see the social media aspect of, hey, he's not following any of his teammates on Instagram and he's got a meeting with club officials tomorrow? I mean, what is it like from your vantage point just to see year in, year out, just drama like this from one franchise to another when it comes to perhaps making sure that the building block that is the centerpiece of your franchise is happy?
You know, you're talking to the right person. It makes me chuckle because the first couple of years I was with this team was before LeBron got here. It was when he was in Miami, and I didn't think anything about any of that stuff. And then LeBron gets here, and instantaneously there is something on the news every day. I mean, we walk out of practice every day, and there was news on the ESPN ticker about something that happened in Cavs practice that day that we were just sitting in there watching, which is incredible because they're closed practices, right? So this is, I mean, the circus surrounds star players. You know, the circus surrounds MVPs in the NBA, and that's okay. You know, I think that there's a lot of interest generated because of that, and I think it's fine. Who knows what to make of that with Giannis? I do know you talk about that meeting. It is clear that, I mean, the front office has gone to Giannis and already said reportedly we're going to spend into the luxury tax. Meaning we're going to get here what needs to be here. And they have some work to do, guys. I mean, you know, going into those playoffs, you kind of look at the supporting cast, and Chris Middleton's a nice player, and there are some nice players around Giannis, but I don't think, you know, up to the caliber of what they need. They're going to have to spend, they're going to have to reshape and retool in a big way, I think. So, you know, whether they can sell him on that, I think, is a big part of whether he's going to stick around. Now, from a numbers perspective, for those who aren't as familiar with how it works, they can offer him more money. They can offer him what's called the Supermax, which is more money than any other team over the next four or five seasons. That's the advantage that a team that already has a player has in terms of re-upping that player. But, you know, we'll see if something gets done this offseason. If it doesn't, now you have another superstar in limbo. All of next season, all of those questions, every city he goes into, they're going to talk about it. So that's part of what they have to look forward to, Milwaukee, if they can't get a deal done this summer. And that's why the stakes are so high with that particular organization.
At least three teams that were in the playoffs have made changes or will have a new head coach next season. Does that surprise you at all?
No, I mean, you see that from time to time. I'll tell you what did surprise me, the Steve Nash hire in Brooklyn. You know, we heard all the familiar names, and there are some really good ones out there that are available. You know, Tyronn Lue's in the mix, somebody who we're familiar with certainly here in Cleveland. A lot of good assistants, a lot of good former head coaches. I mean, you look at, I mean, Nate McMillan's out there. D'Antoni's going to be looking for work come this offseason. So a lot of good names. The Nash one kind of came out of left field a little bit. It's interesting. You know, that has worked at times. You look at Steve Kerr. That has not worked in other situations. Jason Kidd and other times where players had no coaching experience whatsoever and went right into a head coaching role. It strikes me as interesting because they're going to be expected to win now, right mm-hmm. now, with Kevin Durant and with Kyrie Irving, and they have some big decisions to make. Do they go for a third superstar and give away some of these support guys who have been so good for Brooklyn, you know, as they've tried to buy the time and wait for their superstars to come back? So some huge decisions, some huge personalities. I'm not, you know, Steve Nash is going to be interesting, whether he's, you know, he's known as a guy who's able to talk to folks, you know, on a man-to-man level because he's been there leading teams before. He has familiarity with Kevin Durant because he was in Golden State's camp for a while when Durant was there. But, boy, did it take me off guard. It did. And there's a lot of places still searching for coaches right now. Boy, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this shakes out over the next couple of weeks and months.
Were you surprised Billy Donovan parted ways with OKC, and where do you think Donovan lands?
A little bit, because I thought OKC was so much better than anybody expected them to be. I mean, I defy you guys to find any preseason publication that had Oklahoma City in the top eight. You know, with the losses that they had, Chris Paul wasn't expected to be there past the trade deadline. I mean, nobody thought he was going to be playing for the Thunder down the stretch, let alone make the playoffs, get into the playoffs, and be a possession away from knocking off Houston. So I thought they exceeded expectations. I also think, though, in a way, they are in a position where they're thinking about retooling everything. If Chris Paul does not start the season as a Thunder player next year, it would not surprise me. So maybe they want some new blood in there after Billy's been in there and done his thing for a couple of seasons. Where he lands, your guess is as good as mine, guys. You know, who knows? Again, he's on that short list of good coaches who are available, and there are a lot of spots. I mean, you know, Philly's open, a lot of places. New Orleans, still a position that's probably pretty desirable for coaches around this league. So there's a lot out there. Where he goes, I don't know, but do I believe he's going to end up with another team over the next couple of seasons? I don't think there's any question.
John, before we let you go, last time we caught up, you and Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr, were getting ready to host the draft lottery party. Cavaliers wound up with the fifth pick. They're going to get somebody good and somebody who might pair nicely with the guards they've taken first each of the last 2 years, don't you think?
Well, yeah, they're hoping so. They're hoping so. Yeah, it's an interesting draft, guys, because as you know, there's no clear-cut number one, you know, and you know, some people think you might get as good of a player at, you know, five or six as you might get at two or three, depending upon how it shakes out. It's hard to say. This is a hard one to handicap, guys, because there's a different variety of player all over the place. Last year we knew it was going to go Zion, John Morant, right? I mean, everybody knew that. One and two, no question about it, after Morant, you know, with Murray State was so fantastic in the first round and everything else. This year, who knows? You know, mm-hmm. and is trading down a big possibility this season? I think it is, because the pool is so wide, you know, because there are so many players that could be top 15 picks. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Cavs organization is comfortable that they're going to get a good player here no matter what happens. But, you know, how it shakes out over the top four and sets the stage for the Cavs at five remains to be seen.
Well, we know when it comes to the NBA Finals, we shouldn't count out the Nuggets, especially if they fall down 3-1. But we always appreciate your time, John. Thank you so much. Enjoy the conference finals, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
It's always fun, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's John Michael of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the TV voice you hear on Fox Sports Ohio, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.